Together in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 for our text. We're going to be reading the first 14 verses of Romans chapter 6, but we'll also be reading in the back of our songbooks from Lord's Day 33. Lord's Day 33 gives us a summary of the biblical teaching of conversion, or what it means to be put to death and come alive, being united to Christ in his death and resurrection, and what that means for the daily living as we are spirit-filled. Remember, we find ourselves in the third section of the catechism. We are quickly approaching the Ten Commandments. And after the Ten Commandments are considered in depth, then we look at the Lord's Prayer. And our obedience to the commandments of God and in our prayer are the two chief ways in which we show our gratitude. So by obeying God's commandments and by telling God in our prayer, as we saw last week, are the two ways that we show our thankfulness. We display our gratitude. But let's read from Romans 6, the first 14 verses. This is found on page 1094 in our pew Bibles, the first 14 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. That's as far as reading in Romans chapter 6. Then I invite you to turn with me in the back of your songbooks. We're continuing our series through the Heidelberg Catechism, coming to Lord's Day 33. There's four question and answers there, and they're all very short. Just a couple sentences in each one of them there. But, let's start with question and answer 88. And the question before us this evening is this: what is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? And the answer is this: two things. The dying away of the old self and the rising to life of the new. What is the dying away of the old self? It means to be genuinely sorry for sin and more hate it and run away from it. What is the rising to life of the new self? Well, the rising to life of the new self is this. It's a wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a love and delight to live according to the will of God by doing every kind of good work. And finally, what are good works? The answer is this. Only those that are done out of true faith, those that conform to God's law and are done for his glory, and not those based on our own opinion or human tradition. And that's as far as we're reading in the catechism. We ask for God's blessing and the increase upon the preaching of his word. And if you have your Bibles open, I do encourage you to keep them open to Romans chapter 6. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if I were to ask you in a few moments from now after church, are you dead or are you alive? Most of us here would say, well, obviously, if I'm standing here talking to you, I am alive. But understanding how we are alive and how we are to be continually dying is an important answer that we must consider this evening. Just a few weeks back, I was a little early in planting my flowers in early April, and I was afraid that after we had the frost for a few times that I would lose them, that they would die. So I went out and I looked for evidence. I looked at the flowers as they stood there in the ground. Did I see signs of continued life, or did I see signs of death? Usually we're in the sphere of the natural order. You can't be doing both. You're either living or you are dying. Well, today we are going to see that as Christians, we are in fact called to do both at the same time, to be at the same time dying and living. Lord's Day 33 brings to us the process of conversion, which is a process in which we are formed, conformed, transformed, molded into the image of Christ. Some things need to be put off, done away with, and other things need to be put on and begun. The process of dying to sin and coming alive in the image of the new man, Jesus Christ. In fact, this twofold process, dying or stopping certain things and living, doing other things, is going to be seen in each of the commandments. As we start in Lord's Day 34 next week and work throughout the commandments, you'll see that twofold aspect. With each commandment, the commandment says something negative. You shall not do this. God's people don't do this. But the positive is also implied. You shall do this. So when the commandment says you shall have no other God before me, it means you shall worship the one true God, and him only shall you serve. We're going to see those twofold process, those two parts in each of the commandments. To resist certain actions while pursuing other actions. So today we see that Jesus Christ calls his people to a life of sanctified conversion. That's really the sermon is on sanctified conversion. The Holy Spirit is molding us so that we look more like Christ today. As soon as we become Christians, our struggle against sin is not over. In many ways, when we become a Christian, the struggle against sin, against the old man, has just begun. So in our first point, we consider, what does it mean when we are called to put to death, or the old man is to die? Well, according to the nature around us, the environment in which we see, most things, almost everything, has to live first, and then it dies. But in the Christian life, we are dying and living at the same time. As we are called, last week we looked at good works. Good works are a sign of thankfulness. Good works are those, as we looked at question and answer 91, those that are done with a heart of faith, that conform to God's image, and they're done to his glory. But when we think of good works, we tend to think of positive good things that we perform. But did you know that good works can actually be something that you don't do? Good works can be something that you refrain or you stop performing. Doing good is when you resist doing something evil. That also is obeying God's word and giving God glory. Our text from Romans chapter 6 sets before us various phrases. And as I said before, I hope you have your Bibles open. We're going to look at some of these phrases. How does Paul define the Christian life? What does it mean to be a Christian in this process of sanctification? Well, the first part of this process, the old word, is called mortification, putting something to death. We read in verse 3 that we are buried with him and baptized into his death. Verse 2 says that we have died to sin and we live in it no longer. Galatians 2 puts it this way, you have been crucified with Christ, therefore you no longer live. You are dead in Christ. Being united to Christ in faith means that what happened to him has been applied to you, that your sin has been transferred, imputed to him, and when he was on the cross, your sin was on the cross with him, the old man in Christ being crucified. Dead, buried, in the grave, in the tomb. Those who are united to Christ have their old nature, their old man dead, crucified. It's a painful process. Because what is true in our new identity is now being applied to our present reality. When we experience the benefits of justification, that means when the Father looks at you, He does not see your sin. He does not see your old man. He does not see what you used to do and how you used to live and the old man's, Adam's nature in you. That has been put on Christ, killed in Christ, crucified in Christ. But now, justification leads to sanctification. The fact that your old man is dead now means that in your present living, the old man dies. There is a direct connection between who we are in Christ and what we are called to do because we are in Him. Christ, by His Spirit, will not allow these temples, these bodies, to remain in the state that they once were. If we died with Him, Paul says, you must consider yourself as having died with Him. How do we view ourselves as Christians? How do we view ourselves? Well, the first thing, the first way that we should view ourselves is we should view the nature that we inherited from Adam, the old man, the sinful man, our depravity, united to Christ, nailed to a tree, placed in the tomb, never to be resurrected again. But that affects how we live today. Being sanctified, we start to live in accordance with the reality. The problem is sometimes we forget what is true. And we start to live in a way that is contrary to reality. Maybe you've seen this before. You've seen a video of an animal that's been on a chain with a collar. Perhaps it's a dog on a chain with a collar. It's been chained to this post for months and months. And you look at the ground around this post. It's been trampled to death. There's nothing but dirt there. And sometimes what happens is that bondage is taken into the heart of the animal. And even if you were to take that collar off and remove the chain, that animal would remain stuck in that state. They cannot grasp the fact that they have been liberated. They live like they are still slaves. Far too often that happens in the Christian life. But Paul says this to us, your chain has been broken. That collar that bound you, that tied you, that united you to the post of Adam and Satan and slavery and sin, it's been broken, it's been shed. Therefore, don't stay on that patch of dirt. Go forth. For freedom, you have been set free. Don't think, don't act, don't consider, don't live as if you are still under law, under slavery, under guilt and condemnation. Don't let that frame of thinking, that mindset, dictate how you live. So the identity that we have with Christ, our union with Him, baptized into His death, crucified with Him, changes how we live. Then look at verse 11, which says it this way. Consider yourself dead to sin. So your identity leads to your calling. Having died with Christ, the old man is crucified, dead in the grave. By the Spirit's power and presence in us, we have a change of heart, a change of desires. Our likes, our dislikes, our pursuit in life has been altered. We no longer crave the things that the old man craves. We no longer desire the things that the old man desires because the old man is dead. So question answer 89 puts before us, what does this look like? How is that evidenced in your life? If it is true that the old man united to Christ has been crucified, dead, laid in the grave, how will that be evidenced in your daily living? Well, it's evidenced in three parts. Again, this is question answer 89. The dying away of the old self, it means to be genuinely sorry for your sin, more and more to hate it, and to run or to flee from it. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to be truthful with ourselves and in the presence of God. We call sin, sin. By the law, this is Romans 3, by law comes knowledge of sin. We don't call our sins little white lies or just mistakes. A sin is a sin, and a sin is an affront, an attack, a rebellion against God. Isn't that what David said in Psalm 51? Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So the first thing that we do is we acknowledge sin as a rebellion, as a transgression, as a breaking of God's law, as a missing of the mark, and that fills our heart with sorrow and grief. We acknowledge that we have sinned against a holy, just, good, and loving God who has sent His Son to die for us, that we are committing the very sin that necessitated the crucifixion of our Savior. 2 Corinthians 7 puts it this way, godly grief produces repentance that leads to life. So we see our sin as sin. We acknowledge that we have sinned, that all sin is a sin against God. And we hate it. We hate it because of what it is. We hate it because it reminds us from where we have come. We hate sin because God is holy and we know that we as His people ought to be holy. Then finally, we flee from it. Hatred leads to a running away from the thing that is hated. James 4 puts it this way, submit to God, resist the devil. When temptation comes, we act like Joseph did with Potiphar's wife, seeing the lust of the flesh creeping up in his own heart. Joseph flees for his own life. The body that has been brought, this is verse 6 in our passage, the body of sin has been brought to nothing. We are no longer enslaved to that sin. So for us as God's people, sinning is contrary to our new nature. Therefore, verse 12 says, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. We are not enslaved to the passions of pleasure. We do not do everything that creeps into our mind. We can and do actually say no to sin. There is real Christian progress. And when we do sin, we see it and acknowledgement and hate it and flee from it all the more quickly. Christians are not enslaved to sin because we have a new master. Satan and sin no longer rule over us. That chain, that leash has been broken. We are under a new master, a gracious, merciful master, who is our Savior and our Lord. So the first thing we do as God's people that we pray for in the strength of the Spirit, and the Spirit actually does within us, is that we see our sin and acknowledgement. We acknowledge that it's a breaking of God's law. We are sorry that we have sinned. We hate that sin and we run away from it. But before we move on to our next point, I want to give a very brief but pointed application. How Christians respond to temptation is radically different than how an unbeliever responds to temptation. When tempted, God's people respond in this way. The first thing we do is we respond with prayer. We ask God to show us the way out. We ask the Spirit to give us the strength to stand firm. We ask the Son to hold us in His hands. We ask God to give us the wisdom, the eyes, to remember Scripture, to hold up the shield of faith. What we allow into our lives changes. For example, a young man who is growing as a Christian once did not consider it that significant to look lustfully at a young maiden, to covet with her eyes. But as they grow as a Christian, that sinful second look and delayed longing and looking, it's no longer accepted. What we fill our minds with, what we allow our eyes to gaze upon, this changes as a Christian. As we pursue holiness, we are no longer content. We don't offer, Paul says, do not offer your bodies to be instruments of sin and death. Don't offer the parts of your body to Satan. Because sin is not your master. That's verse 14. So we offer our bodies, we offer our minds, our eyes, our hands to our Lord and Master. There is a seriousness in our pursuit of holiness. Indeed, Job made a vow with his eyes never to look longingly, lustfully at a young maiden. So God's people are dedicated when they see sin, they acknowledge it, they repent of it, and they flee from it. Taking that shield of faith that protects us from the fiery darts, that's what it means to put to death the old man. But there's more in the Christian life. There's more than just saying no. There is more than just putting off, a taking off, a burning away. There is also a coming alive, a putting on. Galatians 2 puts it this way. I've been crucified with Christ. That's our first point. But in our second point, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. There is a Christian living, a spiritual change that makes us look more like Christ. Sin is not our king, verse 12 says, but Jesus is our king. And since Jesus is our king, we want his reign and rule to be evidenced in our lives. So there are these two points, they come together. It's not that we do one for part of our life, dying this part and then living in this part. It's a constant battle. We're always struggling against the old man. This thought pattern, this constant worrying, this doubt, this fear, this temptation, that's the old man. I wish I could tell you that tomorrow you'll wake up and you'll never struggle with that anymore, but that's not the Christian life. It's a struggle. It's a hardship. We think thoughts. That's not a Christian thought. I'm not going to do that. Lord, forgive me. I'm going down the path, the mentality, the road of the old man. Lord, help me to stop doing that. And then we fill our minds with what Scripture says. Do not be consumed with worry or fear or doubt or dread. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. So putting off the old, but putting on the new, replacing what is sinful with what is holy, godly, righteous, good, and true. Dying and living. For example, when you want to plant something new, the first thing you need to do is you need to clear the ground. You need to pull the weeds out, and then you plant the good seed. So if we hate sin and flee from it and acknowledge it and confess it, we will also love holiness and delight in it. Romans 6, you still have your Bibles open, hopefully. Romans 6, look what Paul has to say about this part of the Christian life. What is called vivification. Verse 5, we are united to Christ in his resurrection. We are set free from sin. We will also, verse 8, live with him. Verse 4, walk in newness of life. Being united to Christ means that we're not only dead, but we're also alive because Christ died and he rose again. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. Not under law and condemnation, but grace leading to gratitude. So what does that mean for us in the Christian life? Well, question and answer 90 says, what is this rising to life? Answer 90 puts it this way. It's a wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a love and delight to live according to the will of God by doing every kind of good work. See, sometimes as Christians, we get stuck in one mentality. We get stuck in the first point where there is absolutely, it is proper, right, and good for a Christian to have sorrow and grief and humility as we see our sin and we confess our sin and we repent of our sins. Absolutely. But the second aspect is just as much a Christian life. What part? A joy, a glad, rejoicing, gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. There is an hatred of evil, but a delight in good. Didn't David say the same thing in Psalm 51? Return to me the joy of your salvation. Being anointed by the Spirit means that we are not always stuck in a state of dying. But we are also in a state of living. A joyful attitude, a delight in good, a having good cheer in obedience. We love to do what is right, and we take joy in that obedience. Obedience not because it's our duty, we drudgingly have to do what is expected of us, but a joy and a privilege in what is good and delighting in do it. Let me put this in a present-day illustration. Husbands, which action would make your wives happier? What do you think your wives would like better? If you would bring flowers to your wife and say to your wife, it is my duty to give you these flowers. It's expected of me. This is what I must do because I'm your husband. Would that make your wife happy? Or would your wife be more delighted when you handed the flowers by saying, it's not just my duty, it is my joy, it is my privilege, it is my happy delight to give you these flowers? In a similar way, a Christian is not only one who is dedicated to doing certain things, but doing certain things with a heart of joy and gladness and delight. Psalm 119 puts it this way, how I love your law. I meditate upon it day and night. Your law is sweeter to my soul than honey. Back in Romans 6, verse 13, our bodies are instruments of righteousness. For a Christian, we not only are dying, but we are living and delighting in living. It gives us great joy to know that we are living in a way that pleases God. A wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a love and delight to live according to that will by doing every kind of good work. To conclude, daily sanctified conversion is a process that we as Christians must be dedicated to. A parallel process of dying and living. Because although it is true that when we look at creation around us, most things live and then they die, but did you know that when you plant a seed, that seed first dies and then it lives? When you take a grain of wheat and put it in the ground, that seed dies, and then it lives. Christians are dying and living. In Psalm 51, David had a sorrow for sin, but a joy in salvation. He confesses what he did, and he says, against you, you only have I sinned, Lord. I need a clean heart, a right spirit. But also joy and gladness. So as we look at this week to come, we need to be dedicated in the strength of the Spirit to live out of our identity. Our identity as being justified. Remember, there's two parts of justification, right? Our sins are put on Christ. They're dead. They're buried. They're in the grave. But His righteousness, His perfect life, is also given to us. When the Father looks at us, He sees perfect righteousness. Therefore, when we live, sanctification reflects what is true in our justification. We're dying. We're dying as we want to look more like Christ. We don't want to do the things that Christ did not do. But we're also living. We want to do that which Christ did. As our theme states, Jesus Christ calls His people to a life of sanctified conversion. So may we each seek to live a way that is pleasing to God, a life of holy obedience that delights in good and hates what is evil. As we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ, being crucified with Him, but seeing Him now live in us. In this way, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice of praise to the glory of our God, who has purchased our complete salvation. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that You would fill us with a dying and a living, with a sorrow and a joy, with a hatred and a love. Help us to love what You love and hate what You hate. May the old man be put in the grave more and more, and the new man that looks like Christ be put on more and more, as we seek to grow in the image of our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.